So Don, where do we start today? There's so much going on in the world. Where do we start?
Okay, here's where we start, Jack, with the living God. You know, the Bible tells us over and over again, some 500 times, not to be afraid. Remember when Jesus was walking on water and the disciples saw him? They thought they'd seen a ghost. What did he say? Fear not. The day of his resurrection, that night, they're in the upper room and they were cowered. The doors were locked because they were afraid of the religious leaders. Jesus appears. They thought they'd seen a ghost. He said, fear not. So the first message we have is fear not. Because, Jack, we know as Bible believers, this is not really surprising, all the things that we're seeing. Perilous times will come in the end. And the good news is, which we want to, again, emphasize over and over again tonight, we know how the story ends, don't we? And we win. And that's the thing that keeps us going.
Right, absolutely. So you and I talked earlier this afternoon about if there's anything that we could communicate outside of the person of Jesus Christ, it's people coming away tonight with confidence in him. A lot of people feel that the world has been shaken beyond recovery. There's a local LA radio host whose two friends this week committed suicide because of a lack of hope. And that's exactly what we want people to avoid. And so, Don, I'll just jump in and you go for it. But the first thing that we've got on the agenda is regarding, of course, China. And the headline universally is basically this, is China seems to be winning what is known as the coronavirus war among some camps. In fact, President Donald Trump said that Trump calls for American independence agenda to defeat coronavirus. U.S. must never rely on, and here's the key statement, is for a foreign country. Don, talk to us about China, and talk to us about what is it that Trump is referring to here?
Okay, what he's referring to, Jack, is a biblical concept. Remember in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord said he set up nations, boundaries of nations. The same thing true in Acts chapter 17 when Paul's in Athens, okay, the Areopagus, is God has set the boundaries of nations. See, we live in a world today where they don't want boundaries, do they? They want one big globalistic world. China's decided they're going to rule the world, but the Western world are basically ruling the European Union in groups of nations, ending sovereignty. The thing that got Donald Trump elected is make America great again. We're the hugest, largest country in the world, the richest country, the best military. And the idea is we can do it on our own. We can produce these things. We don't need to, you know, send things out to China. Don't send things to other countries. That may cost us more, a little bit of the cash register. But the point is, Jack, what President Trump is doing is exactly right. We're dependent on China way, way too much. And it's been and now to our detriment, as we talked about, the supply line there with drugs and other things could be cut off if they wanted to. We had the trade war going on. So it's a very biblical concept what President Trump is pushing, and that is basically nations, call it populism, nationalism, whatever you want to call it, rather than globalism, because the Lord sets certain boundaries, and in particular, Jack, which we really need to put this in the context, the boundaries, the promised land, a nation he gave the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because see, once you believe in a globalistic world, then God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's descendants are no good, right? Simply because we're all one world. No, God said, this is your land, the promised land, where you'll be my witnesses. So what he's doing is exactly right.
Trump, his policy is exactly right. In fact, I had written something today and put it on my Facebook site. I thought I had it. I messed up. I didn't bring it out. And it's interesting what you just said, because it's almost as though you and I had rehearsed this, which we did not. We haven't rehearsed.
We never do, by the way.
We never.
No, we never. No, we don't rehearse anything.
We don't rehearse anything, Don and I. But I had made a comment, something to the effect that the reason why we're in the condition that we're in right now, economically, and how we're going to talk about this in a moment, and how this all dovetails together is fascinating, but for the fact that God never promised us our wants. God promised us what we needed.
Correct.
And what happened in America, and you said it a moment ago, that if I'm Joe and I'm producing this widget, and I'm making $3 per widget profit, when I found out that I could make that widget in China and make $5, you know, or $4.50 profit, I shipped everything over to China, and I've been doing that for decades. And what I built up was a, so to speak, a workforce for me. it lined my pocket very well. It made my little company now into a big deal. But I became, the master became dependent upon the slave.
Totally.
And now the slave is rising up. And we're going to talk about the coronavirus. But what a lot of people don't are not getting is that this is extremely complicated web.
Yeah.
And we don't want to go down the path of conspiracy stuff. But at the same time, in fact, Don, regarding this conspiracy type stuff that we don't want to go down that path, can you hold up your mug?
Yes.
To, I don't know what camera.
Right here? Yeah.
Can you guys see that?
Can you read it?
Don, what does it say on your mug?
You can't make this stuff up because it's perfectly fitting, Jack, exactly what the Bible tells us the world will be like in the last days. You can't make it up, can you? And so we're not surprised. Now, the way this took place, we're surprised at this, but the virus and how it spread, but we're not surprised what's happened because what America has done, you know, for the almighty dollar is, again, use China as a conduit, as the slave, and the slave has become the master because once the supply line is cut, look what happens. Well, you're stuck, right? But what is happening now, we're seeing, is companies coming back, hopefully, to our country and produce here. Well, and that's the president, I believe, is going to make that the result of this. So for many reasons, that it, not only, it's always best if we're in control of things, isn't it? So rather than sending it out elsewhere just to make a few extra cents on the dollar.
Let's, guys, can we play that video of this, what's to this link?
We should never be reliant on a foreign country for the means of our own survival. I think we've learned a lot. We've learned a lot. This crisis has underscored just how critical it is to have strong borders and a robust manufacturing sector. For 3 years, we've embarked on a great national project to secure our immigration system and bring back our manufacturing jobs. We brought back many jobs, record numbers of jobs. And this really shows, this experience shows how important borders are. Without borders, you don't have a nation. Our goal for the future must be to have American medicine for American patients, American supplies for American hospitals, and American equipment.
Amen.
For our great American heroes.
Yep.
Now both parties must unite to ensure the United States is truly an independent nation in every sense of the word. Energy independence, we've established that. And something incredible that we've established. We're energy independent, manufacturing independence, economic independence, and territorial independence enforced by strong sovereign borders. America will never be a supplicant nation. We will be a proud, prosperous, independent, and self-reliant nation. We will embrace commerce with all, but we will be dependent on none. Above all, we know that the best thing for our economy and the world right now is a very, very powerful victory over the virus.
What he just said, Don, drives the globalists nuts.
It certainly does.
This causes, in fact, not only the globalists, but many who are within the Democrat Party, because they're globalists. What he just said is national sovereignty, not only for the United States, but for any and all nations. And that has got to drive the Antichrist spirit, or the Antichrist, who may not know he's the Antichrist yet, if he's on the planet walking around, I can almost smell his cologne, so to speak. It's wild. That kind of talk inspires people. That kind of talk encourages people because God, as you said, placed that within us.
He did.
I want to read this. I went to my Facebook page. 2 hours ago, I posted this. Make no mistake about it. This is a sad day for the United States of America. The federal bailout of ourselves, or AKA the coronavirus stimulus plan, to rescue our economy is a necessary evil, but it is one that could have been avoided. I am reminded that God wanted Israel not to lean upon or trust in the strength of any foreign power for treaties or any other nation for Israel's existence. The God of the Bible had promised to provide Israel with what it was that they needed, but never did he promise to supply them what they wanted. For many decades now, the United States has leaned upon cheap Chinese labor to satisfy our diet of want. As the desire for want grew, so grew our consumption. Now hooked on materialism, the United States of America is addicted to China's ability to literally be our supplier. The master has become dependent upon the slave. Most of us had no idea, listen, that such a sellout of our nation was underway, and perhaps we never would have known it unless a scrappy, street-smart businessman had been elected president of the United States for such a time as this. Donald J. Trump, who against all odds and counsel ripped off the mask of the Chinese version of the Trojan horse. But now the enemy is not only within the gates, it turns out that the enemy owns the gates and everything around them. We will be finding out real soon, within the next few weeks, if President Trump's actions came too late to save the U.S. from its own lust for greed and stuff, and from China's desire for global dominance. But my curiosity begs me to ask the question, where was President George H.W. Bush while all this was going on? Where was President Bill Clinton? Where was President George W. Bush? Where was President Barack Obama while my country was being sold right out from underneath my feet?
Yeah, amen.
And that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, Jack, and Paul to the Philippians 4:19, he said, God's going to supply all our needs, but not all our greeds. What we need, but not what we are greedy about. And he does.
Yeah.
But see, America, unfortunately, is, like you said, we've gone over to China, we've got things cheaply, and evidently we thought we would be fine always. But when the supply line is cut, when you've got this thing going on, when you've got the trade war happening, look at this. The sovereign nation of the U.S., which can supply all our needs here, you know, in this country.
God has provided all of our, hasn't
he? Yeah, we've got, you know, we're the biggest oil producer in the world right now. We could do everything.
Right.
And now we've got a president, so let's do it.
Yeah. Keep going. I want to
know. No, it's great, because what I like about this, Jack, this is how the Lord set the world up. People have to work for a living. Remember, the idea is that, you know, in a market-based economy, I don't like to use what we call capitalism, that's Karl Marx's term, but a market-based economy means I need something, so you make it, you sell it to me, I'm benefited, and we're both benefited. And that causes entrepreneurship, it causes people to be creative, this and that, use the God-given gifts that they have, and God has blessed America because of that. We're this melting pot of peoples from all over the world. We're all immigrants, aren't we? We've come here with this great experiment, and God has blessed it, and he's tremendously blessed it this first 3 years of President Trump's administration, because he has done things that have caused a blessing with Israel. Three things, moving where we go from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Now we have the embassy, Golan Heights, which for years and years, since 67, since Israelis won it in the war, has been part of Syria. And the president says, no, it's part of Israel. We're the first country to acknowledge that. Right. And then the so-called West Bank, Judea and Samaria, President Trump said, that's not occupied territory. That belongs to Israel. And so here we are, have been blessed. All of a sudden, Jack, in the middle of this blessing, we get hit right between the eyes with this virus none of us expected. And we're in a very trying time right now.
Well, Don, where did the virus come from?
Virus came from China, communist China too, by the way.
How has communist China's economy been since Trump's been elected?
Not very good, Jack, because what he has done, he's called them on it. He's a businessman. He looked at this and says, why are we giving everything away? Why are we paying for everything?
We paid them to sell us stuff.
Yes, we have. And just like Europe with NATO and that, and says, you know, he's a businessman. He looks at the bottom line and says, this isn't smart. Let's run the country like a business. You got someone who knows what they're doing.
Exactly.
And look what's happened. And China doesn't like that. Let's face it. They don't like it. Yeah. And the people, unfortunately, the corporations, the companies, and the politicians that are in bed with China. And so they're not happy with what he has done or what he is doing.
My goodness.
And so...
Yeah, keep going. Yeah. But just to insert, we know as a church that's in touch with our elected officials, there are politicians who, you said it a second ago, they are simply, really, honestly on Chinese payroll.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, just like with the UK when they got out of the European Union and Brexit, the reason the politicians didn't want it is because they're getting, you know, the little brown paper bag is handed to them and they're doing fine. But then when the citizens get a chance to vote, what do they vote for? Freedom. We always see that happen. You don't vote for some big glob union. You don't vote for a 32-member European Union. You vote for your own sovereignty, your own freedom. And that's where that's why God made human beings the way we are. And that's why America has always been great. Yeah. And I believe we're going to be great again.
So listen, we showed that happy music video, right. Danny Gokey reaching out to the kids. I did that intentionally because of the heaviness of where we need to go next. And that is regarding the virus. I probably should announce that on behalf of both of us. So we're blessed that people tell us things. We're blessed that we know, Don, we know people in places. Yeah. We can't quote them. And we understand that when we say something, we take the risk of looking like idiots because we can't say, oh, by the way, I got that from Mr. XYZ at the XYZ. Yep. We can't say that. Nope. So what we can say, friends, is that listen to what we say right now, and then you go judge. Don't panic. Go judge and watch. So I asked you where the virus came out of. Not only did it come out of Wuhan, China, but if there was ever a place where viruses have a habit of sneaking out of the building, it's a place called Wuhan, China.
Yeah.
It's happened before.
Yeah.
And the danger of what we have now been told, when I say now, I'm not sure how public this is, but what I'm saying is not secret. Previously, Don, we have seen the elderly susceptible to this.
Correct.
But in the last 48 to 96 hours, we are watching now a shift globally in its ability to attack younger people.
Yeah.
It has set the medical field on its heels. Just when you thought you had the cat in the corner, it turned out to be an elephant on the roof. And we are now hearing from sources that it is mutating and that we can watch it in the lab mutate. It's coded. It is, what's the word? It is synthesized mm-hmm. to mute, which means that they took an existing sickness, an existing organic flu, and they humanly engineered it. And what we're looking at now, just like a time-released ibuprofen or aspirin would act, a time-released painkiller, this is now apparently a time-released flu, which mutates, and now we're going to expect to see it attacking younger people. I don't say that to scare people. I say that for us to pray for our nations. Don, want to go on that?
Yeah, let me, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's take a step back. It was starting in November where they found this out in China. Let's think it logically, Jack. You know, they think we've got the tinfoil hats on, the conspiratorial theory. China's got 3.7 million square miles, 3.7 million. Third biggest landmass in the world next to Antarctica and Russia, all right? 1.4 billion people. And this epidemic at first breaks out where? In the city of Wuhan. Well, why Wuhan? Well, Wuhan, of all the cities in China, is the one place that has the level 4 laboratory.
Gee.
Where is, you know, it's just been there for about 2 years, where they have all the pathogens such as SARS, MERS, H1N1, Ebola. It's all there.
Right.
The previous lab in Beijing in 2004, SARS was brought out of there twice out of that lab.
Repeat that.
Yeah, in the previous lab they had in Beijing in 2004, SARS escaped twice. SARS killed 10% of the people. 8,000 people, 80,000 people got it. 8,000 people died, about 10%. But that was in the lab there. They built this new one in Wuhan just a couple of years ago, and we're told that, coincidentally enough, in 3.7 million square miles, this marketplace where they eat these animals, these wild animals outdoor, all of a sudden the virus has spontaneously happened right there. Then number two, once they realized in the Wuhan area that people were getting the virus and people were, you know, dying of something strange, they started taking samples and started investigating this. When they sent the samples to the authorities, what did the authorities do? They destroyed the samples. Now, why would you do that? You do it because you already know where it comes from, right? Number two. Mm-hmm. Number three, you've also got not only the destruction of the samples, you not only have got, you know, the history of the labs there, but also, and three is the cover-up that's there. What happened, they had this big potluck dinner in Wuhan after they knew there was this epidemic going on. That's 40,000 right. families had a potluck there, 40,000. And then all of a sudden, as we know, the rest is history. And then we find out in the first bit of January, well, there's some type of epidemic going on in Wuhan, China, just coincidentally enough where the level four lab is. And so all of a sudden now it, you know.
Oh, and it just happened to pop up, by the way, yeah. after a several members, political members / military members of Iran went back home.
Yes.
And the one of the first international dots on the map outside of China was Tehran.
Totally.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, very much so, because see, what people don't realize, China has this called BRI, Belt and Road Initiative. What they do, they invest in countries that need the investment. Two of the biggest investments in the world now are Iran and Italy. Does that kind of ring a bell, what's going on with the virus right now?
Exactly.
What do they do? Well, they invest in the infrastructure of these countries, but what you have to do is hire Chinese workers financed by Chinese banks, and before you know it, China ends up they owning them. There's something like four ports in Italy now that are owned by China. There's something like 330,000 workers in northern Italy who are Chinese there.
Listen, Don, you're talking so fast, and it's so important, I'm afraid people are going to miss this.
We'll go over it again.
You are talking yeah. about people, listen, Don is talking about China purchasing, which if you know anything about the Venetian Empire, they were brilliant because they weren't very good at warfare. They were very good at business. And they controlled ports. It's an ancient tactic. It's brilliant. China is purchasing or in control or influencing how many ports, Don?
Four.
And do you know that the city of Los Angeles owns the port of Los Angeles and that China is making an offer to buy the port of Los Angeles in Los Angeles, California, 39 miles from where we're sitting?
Yeah.
What in the world is going on? Don, when the virus came out and when it became very virulent and strong and it began to affect us, we saw our market crash in a day.
Yeah, we did.
Back to back.
Back to back.
Friends, do you know, family of God, do you know what happened? As soon as that happened, when market value of some of the greatest companies in the world here in the United States went down, guess what happened? No one's talking about it. China started buying up that stock. China started buying through shells, through covers. Companies began buying up key stakes of U.S. corporations. The question then is this, Don. Is it possible that 3 years ago, a president knocked the mask off of China's charade, exposed their falsehood to the world, their economy plummeted, and for them to save themselves, once again, a virus had to walk out of Wuhan. And they would gladly risk their own citizens to save them their own communism, and specifically to affect the global markets. They didn't even have to attack. Not one person in America had to get sick. Others had to get sick in the world to affect the U.S. economy. And China is very much, if this is released by China, their war tactic was better than a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, it sure was. And see, the reason, and let's explain to the audience where we're going with this too, because one of the interesting things about last day's Bible prophecy, we find that U.S. isn't a player, Jack.
We're not a player.
And something, for some reason, we're not going to be a player. And there's a bunch of different scenarios. But see, this here is one possible scenario of taking us out of being a player. Now, I'm praying and hoping it doesn't happen.
Of course.
But it's not impossible that it does. But sooner or later, we're not going to be a player in the world. There's other possible scenarios. I like to tend to think that U.S. will be so interested in China and the Pacific, that's why they'll be out of the Middle East, because Trump's trying to do that, and China and U.S., you know, will be, you know, at loggerheads with one another. But the point is, the U.S., you know, the great, you know, what we had, something like $17 trillion, the stock market worldwide had gone up, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, we're almost looking at not a recession, a depression now.
So, again, our president currently is speaking in such a way to inspire the nation. In fact, the last few days he's been speaking encouragingly. Stock market has gone up tremendously the last 2 days. But the reason is, and this is not, people do not want to hear this. Our country, the United States, just preparing the stimulus package to give Americans money to keep the economy or to spur on the economy. When you're hungry, you don't want candy.
Nope.
Because one of that side effects is a sugar rush. This giving of free money, so to speak, it's not free, but it's free money, so to speak, it is going to be very short-lived. Our economists tell us, and our Treasury Department is telling us, that this nation, as it is, cannot continue in the condition that it's in with all of us being home.
Nope.
And the breaking point is somewhere around the few 72 hours that just happens, Don, to be Easter weekend.
Yep.
America has got to get back to work by April 13th,
yep,
or America is going to fail. And if America fails, the Wuhan virus will be a joke,
yep,
compared to how many people will be affected by suicide, will be affected by sickness, will be affected by homelessness, joblessness. More people will perish if we don't go back to work versus taking the risk of getting sick by going to work. This is an absolute Hollywood movie scenario.
Indeed.
Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, and this is where President Trump's between the proverbial rock and the hard place. He's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. But we do have to get to work back here. Like he said in that broadcast, we're created to work. We're not created just to sit around. We're the most prosperous country in the world. Then all of a sudden, everything seems to go south. So we do need to get back. So that's the trade-off. And isn't it interesting? It's right around Easter Sunday, where it's kind of like the magic date. So Jack, if there's ever a time the Christians need to pray, to ask the Lord for his grace, for his mercy. Now, again, grace and mercy, not because we deserve it. Like the prophet Daniel in Daniel 9, Lord, we have sinned against you. We have turned our back on you. We ask for your mercy. And that's what we need to do right now, because it's a very, very difficult time with respect to the economy and the country. There are people watching us right now wondering, you know, what am I going to do next week? I'm waiting for, you know, for this $2 trillion, some of it to come my way. But like you said, it's the sugar rush. It's not going to last forever. We need to get back to work. But then we've got, you know, again, the virus is moving across the country. The only good news of that, even though it is more virulent, the death rate is still very, very small, very small.
People need to be encouraged by this. Now, it may have changed recently, but the last time I saw the reporting out of MIT's data agreed with MD Anderson's data, which agreed with Johns Hopkins University data, that globally, those who proved positive, they were tested positive, not all of those who were positive got sick.
Nope.
But those who got sick, 98.6 of them recovered.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's about 1.2 to 1.4%
correct
of fatalities there. But there's something else, like we were talking about, four in the mix. A doctor friend of mine, I was talking to him about it recently, and I said, look, Kurt, you know, about 6 weeks ago, I had the flu, I lost speech at a time. I would fever that for a couple of days. It was weird. And you had something like that too, right?
I had the worst fever and the longest fever that I've had in my life. During Christmas week, I had 103. I couldn't get out of bed for 4 days. I've never been that sick. And then I was fine.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what I had. I didn't go to the doctor. I recovered. But I got to tell you, it was a whopper. And that was December, you know, right at the end of the year, like you.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, I was talking about it. I said, you know, I had it and it lingered a while. It was some type of virus. I had, a shortness of breath. I had the fever. I had the coughing and that. But then I'm fine. And he said, you know, it's funny you say that. He had the same thing. But here's what he told me. Unfortunately, there's not a test that we have to find out if we've already had the virus. The tests that we have now say that whether we have it or not. So I guarantee you, I can tell you, there's a lot of people who've already had it. They've passed
right.
It. It's gone.
It's gone from
them. It's gone from them. And, in other words, they're not going to get it again, at least this year around.
And thank you for saying that, because people, listen, don't panic. Don't panic. I got to tell you, now's the great time to turn off normal broadcasting.
Yep.
and tune into his channel,
yep,
television, and stay tuned with us as well. Because listen, all of a sudden now, no one's reporting anybody getting shot in LA or Chicago. When's the last time you heard about a bank robbery in Miami? Every moment of your 24 cycle of news is another person died of the virus. Another person,
exactly,
died of the virus. You would think the whole world is dying.
Yep.
And our media is killing us by focusing on this.
Yeah, there's a couple of sites that give you the latest data. And every time they give it, it shows the number of people that are affirmed with case and number of people who've died. I keep doing I'm getting really good because he's a calculator. And it's anywhere from 1.2% to 1.4% that are fatalities. And it's stayed pretty consistent right now, even with the terrible things happening in New York and elsewhere. And so it is, you know, again, if you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of millions of people, that's a lot of people. But it is not going to, first of all, it's not going to wipe us out. Let's remember this.
That's right.
Jack. Jesus
it can't.
It can't, because Jesus said he's going to come back. There are going to be people on this planet. He said, but he did say this, unless he did come back, no flesh would be saved. Now, he says that in the context of wars, doesn't he? But it's interesting, isn't it? So first thing we want to encourage people,
absolutely,
we're not all going to die. I mean, we are, but I mean, we're not all going to die. The planet's not going to dissolve and end.
And if you develop a cough, people are panicking. I got a cough.
Yeah.
I got a sore throat. Doctors are telling you worldwide, stay home.
Yeah.
Be very wise. You know, drink soup and do your thing. And listen, we're going to play. I think this is a video, guys. I'm not sure. Maybe the producers can yell at us from somewhere, wherever they're at. Trump calls for restarting economy by Easter. We have to get back to work. And that is a very gentle way of putting it. I'll put it to you this way. America must get back to work by Monday of Easter week, or else we are going to see pretty serious cataclysmic economic events in our nation. And our president, who is the last person on earth I'd want to be, is doing an amazing job. It's amazing. Let's move on. Guys, next slide to kind of prompt us. We can kind of see what the next slide might be. China will emerge from the coronavirus stronger than the U.S. U.S. experts warn us. So, yeah, maybe so. That depends. I don't know if I buy that exactly. If America recovers, if America gets back to work, you could actually see a recovery of the United States that will actually will surpass where we were. That's if we, Don, economists tell us what needs to happen for that to happen, but you and I would preempt the economists and say that will happen if we repent as a nation.
Correct.
Tell us why.
Well, that's because God's looking at us, and he tells us in his word, you know, he looks on the hearts of nations. Remember Nineveh, the people there repented when there wasn't even an offer of repentance.
Yeah.
Jonah comes and says, in 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. Really? And they believed him. Well, maybe if we repent, God will show mercy on us. Well, how much more here? And I really think, Jack, again, I'm an optimist here in all this, because we got a couple things going. We got a president who is a businessman, who's,
yep,
a tremendous businessman, number one. And then the three things he's done, like I said, with Israel, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the Golan Heights, recognizing that as part of Israel, and then the Judea-Samaria, the West Bank, saying, no, it's not occupied territory, being a friend of Israel. Genesis 12, 1-3, still in play. He will bless those that bless the descendants of Abraham and curse those that curse.
Yep.
So I'm an optimist how I believe it's going to work out. But we have a responsibility to confess, to pray, and get serious serious about our relationship with the Lord. That's what we need to do as people of the world that are watching this.
In fact, I want to encourage everyone that if you know your Bible, and I know many of you tuning in, you don't know your Bible, and that's okay. Listen, you need to get a Bible and read it because it's more relevant than tomorrow's news. Here's the deal. God says of any nation, of those who are called by his name, that means do you believe in him, that if you would repent of your sins, repent of your sins and seek his face, God promises to heal your land. But you got to turn. Personally, now Don's going to have to hold me back on this one because I'm very passionate about it. When I read my Old Testament, every nation is a nation of sinners. We've all sinned. But there seems to be sins that God hates more than others. He hates all sin, but there's certain sins that just sets him off. And at the top, throughout Israel's history, is the sin of sacrificing human life. God hates it. And God destroyed cultures that are no longer in existence because they sacrificed their children. And isn't it bizarre that in the United States, the Democrat Party, headed up by Nancy Pelosi, every other word coming out of her mouth is, we've got to keep aborting babies. Yep. Mm-hmm. Our nation is in crisis, and for days we couldn't pass a bill to help our companies in America because she wanted, in the coronavirus bailout, money to kill babies. Yep. Nancy Pelosi, that is demonic. She's sick. That is perverse. God hates it. And I believe that America must repent of slaughtering babies in the womb or else we're going down. And I'm not being a bad guy. We want to be optimistic. Here's the optimism. Repent of our nation slaughtering babies in the womb. And God will heal our land. If we do not stop this, Don, it's not going to be well for us. And here we go. Even now, she is yelling and screaming about no way can citizens get help unless we agree to fund the abortion of babies.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because they list the essential businesses that must stay open. And one of the states are making this on a case-by-case basis, which is interesting. Massachusetts said abortion is an essential business. The industry is still there. Governor DeWine of Ohio, bless his heart, said, no, it's not. We're shutting them down. And yet they're aborting kids anyway. They're against the governor's orders. Governor Abbott of Texas, same thing. This is not an essential business. We're not going to have it here. So we have people standing up, Jack, and standing up to that today. And yet Nancy Pelosi and the left, part of this what they, the pork they snuck in, is not only like the harvesting of ballots, the things, ballot stuffing and that, but the abortion thing too, which is, again, a terrible blight on our country.
One? I think it's number one in God's
eyes. Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah. I don't know how we went from coronavirus to that, but just keep going.
Okay.
I want to hear you.
Okay, well, anyway, interesting. I always like, because I do, you know, most people, and I do his channel 5 days a week, 10 to 11 every day at hischannel.com, breaking news with the latest news. So I'm constantly watching the news. And Senator Blackburn, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, just said something.
Born again Christian.
Yeah, I know. Something that we just said. End the control the madmen in Beijing have over America's drug industry. Amen, amen. And people would be surprised about how many born-again Christians there are in this administration, how many people there are actually serving. There was a story the other day, I gave this because I always want to give some optimism with all the pessimism. There was a digital Bible study that the re-election campaign of Donald Trump were meeting together and doing it online because they couldn't get together. And who would ever know that his re-election campaign meets for a Bible study first thing before getting into the ins and outs of re-electing him?
Well, Don,
You probably would.
I can actually tell you that I was on that call this morning at 10:30 Pacific time.
Wonderful.
With that group of leadership for Bible studies for the various members of the administration. You are correct. In fact, according to Vice President Mike Pence, it's his understanding that there are more Bible studies taking place among cabinet members than any other time in recorded American history.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people close to the president are really Bible-believing Christians. You think of Mike Pompeo, obviously.
Tremendous born-again believer.
Yeah, I remember talking with Greg Laurie. Greg said when he met Mike, Mike was telling about traveling around the world, all the different churches he could go and see as a Secretary of State. I thought, wow, isn't that a great thing to say when you're just meeting somebody?
I had a chance to ask Mike Pompeo a couple months ago, if you could do anything in the world, what would you do? You have been a decorated war hero, yep, as a tank commander. Yep. You have been a congressman, you've been a business owner, you've been director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and now you're one of Trump's trusted allies in government. If you could wave a wand, what would you do? Do you know what his answer was, Don?
What was that?
He said, for Susan and I to be back in Kansas at our church being Sunday school teachers.
Wow. Wow.
A man about the world, mm-hmm, I'd rather be back in Kansas doing Sunday school.
Now, what does that say about a person's priorities, the things that really matter in life? And that's what we're talking about here today, Jack. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that Christ can change lives, the fact that we do have hope. We're not pessimistic with what's going on because we know the outcome of the story. The Lord already tells us we win in the end. And so we don't know how we're going to get there, and it's going to be some difficult times. But when we read and what we see all the time, like, again, you can't make this stuff up, of all the prophecies that are in place right now, setting the stage to be fulfilled, you literally can't make this stuff up. We got a story somewhere about Saudi Arabia and Russia being at loggerheads. Isn't it interesting, Ezekiel 38, thank you, they just put on the screen. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that Ezekiel 38 has those that will invade Israel in the last days and those will protest? Russia is the leader of the invasion. Saudi is the leader of the group that protest. And now they're at loggerheads over the oil prices where they dumped all this cheap oil. MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, did that a few weeks ago, dumped it on the world. And initially, that's why the stock market went down that one day on the Monday, not because of the coronavirus at first, but because of the oil glut that was there. And that's why, you know, the oil futures went down, this and that. And now it's to the place where they're practically giving it away, except our gas station isn't yet. They're still charging me an arm and a leg.
Well, yeah.
But bottom line is, notice what you see. One side, the U.S., and another, and then, of course, urging Saudi to do this. Saudi's on this side, Russia on this side. See, the players already listed what side they're going to be on. They're already lined up perfectly, just as the Bible said. You can't make this stuff up.
So that's Secretary Mike Pompeo on the left. This was just today or yesterday. And this crown prince, he's an interesting guy. He's very young for one, which is good for us. He's young. He loves the United States. He loves American movies. He's the one that has ordered AMC theaters to be built throughout his country.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's encouraging women to have rights and drive in Saudi Arabia. And what Don just said a moment ago is key, because you see that picture. Pompeo is trying to get the prince to work things out with Russia because it's better for the world if they work it out. The point is, you've got America trying to get Saudi and Russia to calm down, which backs up to what Don just said. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel 38 that could happen at any time, that Russia will be an enemy, or I should say against, in some capacity, Saudi Arabia, because they do not agree when Russia invades Israel from the north. It's clearly written in Scripture.
Yeah, and what we see, like we said, Jack, every day, when all these things are going on, let's not miss the fact that other things are going on the same time as the virus. We don't want to be misdirected either with the oil thing there, what's going on in Israel right now with the government taking place there.
Tell us about that.
Okay, what's happened there is that this is their third election they've just had. They can't put a government together. You've got 120 seats in their parliament called the Knesset. You have to have a combination of 61 to get your prime minister. Well, the last two elections, neither group could get more than enough. This last election, Prime Minister Netanyahu, we thought on election night that he got 60, ends up getting 58. All right, you need three more. The other side has 62. So what do they try to do? Benny Gantz, the leader of this blue and white party that lost a number of seats there, a switch of four from the last election, contrary to every promise he made, said, we're going to put a coalition together with the joint list parties, 15 parties, the joint list, which include people that want to see the destruction of the state of Israel.
Literally,
one of the other MPs that are on that list praised a terrorist who crush the skull of a four-year-old when the rockets are shooting from Gaza towards Sderot and there in southern Israel. These MPs were saying, well, Israel shouldn't shoot back. They should just take it. And this is the coalition he wants to put a government. Well, today the headline was, and praise God we could emphasize that, they can't form a coalition. There's no way the blue and white's going to form one with the joint list. They can't get it together.
Isn't it amazing, while Europe is in this upheaval and Italy is fighting for its existence, Israel is so leaderless in a sense. Totally. I mean, yep. Netanyahu has obviously tremendous leadership skills, but the people are unable to come together. I find it possibly prophetically intriguing that it's not Greece that is fighting for its existence right now.
Right.
It's Italy. And in Italy, there's a place called Rome.
Yep.
And Rome quite possibly could be, if we understand Bible prophecy correctly, the place where a European leader will find at least one of his governing seats yep. positioned. It could be his religious headquarters, we don't know, but it's possible that Italy is crying out for someone to rescue them at this time. It's possible that that Israel is crying out for somebody to rescue them at this time. If America goes down, the world is going to be crying out, because the world is so dependent upon the U.S. in all kinds of ways, looking for a rescuer. I'm wondering, Don, if that rescuer, hypothetically, is walking planet Earth.
He very well could be. 1 John 2:18, in the days of our Lord and soon thereafter, John wrote that many antichrist have already come, but one antichrist is coming, a final antichrist, a final world leader. He's called the man of sin, the first beast of Revelation chapter 13. He's going to be a political leader, and he's going to have all the answers. The Bible calls him a mouth speaking great things. So what it assumes is a world that's chaotic, like what we're seeing now, a world that doesn't have answers, countries that seemingly, like Italy, like you said, like Israel, that need really, really leadership and help. Well, here's a person who comes on the scene in the place of Jesus Christ is the anti-Messiah or the false Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 5, I have come in my Father's yep. name. You did not receive me. Another will come in his own name. Him you will receive. And the world is getting perfectly set up for that. Not only that, with the exponential increase of technology, that sets it up perfectly for him. Because, again, there's
going.
An assumption in Scripture in three different passages, Jack, of a world right now we're living in that the world was so foreign to the Bible days. No one could buy or sell, Revelation 13, without a mark on your right hand or your forehead, worldwide. How in the world could you monitor something like that with every business transaction? What, are you going to have someone standing there when people exchange money? Well, money is going to be a thing of the past. Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, said next generation of kids won't know what currency money is because it's all going to be digital. And particularly now with the virus going on, my wife is in the finance business there. And these are heroes there because they're handling money every day.
Ugh.
Yeah, they have to do it, the tellers and that. But somebody has to do it to distribute that. And they're putting their self on the line because, you know, of all the possible things that are go along with that. But anyway, so we're moving towards that. And there have been calls now, too, because of this, because of the dirtiness of money, let's just make currency. Digital worldwide, and that's worth coming to.
Well, let's be honest. The truth of the matter is, it's really great, for example, that our animals have chips in them.
Yeah.
Our animals in California, maybe the entire U.S., our pets are chipped at the vet. So when our dog runs away somewhere, they can scan it, and they know exactly where he lives and his name and whatever that stuff is. Great idea. It's a great idea.
Yes, sir, it is.
And a cashless society is a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't carry cash. It's very inconvenient. I don't carry it. I just don't carry it. But isn't that interesting? This is March 23rd, which is all the days. We've been working so nonstop.
I've lost
track of days. Guys, it's slide number 8. People on the at home, take a look at this. Coronavirus stimulus offered by House, that is the U.S. House of Representatives. Financial Services Committee creates new digital dollar. This is not a joke. This is not a spoof.
No.
It's exactly what Don was just talking about a moment ago.
Yeah, and it's coming, and the Bible assumes that type of world, Jack. And can you imagine someone even living 100 years ago or 50 years ago saying, what do you mean monitoring transactions worldwide? You can't do that. How do you know what's going on in Mongolia, South America, even here in our country? But again, with the technology we have today, it's all digital, and like most of us don't pay with cash anymore. We don't carry it, or we carry very little, simply because it's simple, it's simpler, and it gets easier and easier now to pay with, you know, you got Apple Pay and things like that, the digital cash that we use, and you know, it's here, and so the world is perfectly set up that way. So you see, Saudi Arabia against Russia, that's set up perfectly, as the Bible says. The cashless society, perfectly set up. The need for a leadership, perfectly set up. Are we starting to see a pattern here, Jack, of what was written so from 2,000 to 4,000 years ago?
While you're going, I'm thinking Matthew 24,
yep.
Revelation 13. 1 John 2, Ezekiel 38.
Yep.
I mean, Bible verses are just flying by me while you're talking.
Correct.
And it's absolutely amazing, because I think, we talked about it earlier, some of our good friends and some of our mentors in life.
Yep.
I think of Dr. Tim LaHaye. I knew him. He would be jumping up and down right now. On this stage, numerous times, Dr. John Wolverid taught here five different times.
Wow.
He would be jumping up and down. Chuck Smith, Chuck Missler, Hal Lindsey.
Yep. Hal's still with us.
Hal's still with us, but.
yeah.
Absolutely amazing days in which we live in.
Yeah, it is. We were always looking forward to these days, and it's getting, as we said, closer and closer, because we see everything set up. Now, again, we're not going to limit God in timing. We can't say it's got to happen in this time or that. People made that mistake in the past. But again, Jesus said you can know the times and the seasons, and my goodness, when all the signs are there and the world is desperately now looking for leadership of someone who can bring them out of this, this is where this man of sin can come on the scene, particularly, like you said, in these countries such as Italy, which has been bought and paid for now by China, Israel now, which needs leadership. They need to find somebody, and unfortunately, that person will appear, unfortunately, because the people will receive him, because again, he's got all the answers, a mouth speaking great things, yet he is literally the devil himself living in this personage. That's why he's the final Antichrist, the final personage in this world who's come up, like in the past with Goliath, Saul, Alexander the Great, Antiochus the Fourth. You've got Nimrod, the first one back in the book of Genesis, all who are anti-God and as world leaders, as leaders. But this one will be the one, the most, you know, the worst of them all, the culmination, the final Antichrist.
Isn't it interesting that the book of Daniel leads us to believe that this guy is ego with legs.
Yep.
Right? He speaks pompous words against the God of heaven.
Sure does.
Interesting thing, Don. It's slide number 9. All around the world, Saudi Arabia, the Vatican, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, vacant, silent, empty, eerie.
Very eerie.
What is full? Homes. All around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, never on a global scale, at this moment, world history is being made as you hear our voices, because people are confined to their homes around the world. And what gets Don and I excited is that 2,000 years ago, the church was born in a home. And all of a sudden, for the first time in 2,000 years, the church is back in the home. Is the trumpet going to blow soon? Are we going to go up soon? I don't know. Will we come back, and will this massive auditorium be filled once again? I don't know. But I can tell you this. We have never reached more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ than we are right now during this coronavirus season. So in that, I thank God for it. I know God didn't cause it, but God's using it. And remember what the gospel is. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine and Don's. Jesus rose again from the dead to justify us. He died for our sins, but then he rose again for our justification. And Jesus Christ was God incarnate, that is God in the flesh, come to this world to fulfill the Hebrew prophets, the Old Testament prophecies of the Hebrew Bible. And he ascended back to heaven, and Christ is coming again. And the things that are going on around the world, Jesus warned that in the last days we would see these things. Things like, in 3 minutes, a 7.5 earthquake, a 7.8 earthquake, a 7.8 again earthquake. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draws near. The Bible tells us we will not know the time, the day or the hour of his coming, but concerning the times and the seasons, you'll know perfectly well. Amazing time to be alive. Trust Christ.
Yeah, it is. And for some reason, Jack, and here's the thing everybody ought to get excited about. God has allowed us to see it. For the last 2,000 years, people have longed to see the days you and I live in, have not seen them. Have longed to hear the things we're hearing, didn't hear them. In Matthew 13, Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are your ears and your eyes, for prophets, righteous men, kings, long to see the things that you see, long to hear the things that you hear. But that first century group, that small group of believers, heard the things that people longed to see and longed to hear. For 2,000 years, Bible-believing Christians in the hundreds of millions have been looking forward to the day that we live in. And we have a responsibility, Jack, in this day to be salt and light, because we're a unique generation. We're seeing all these things. These people saw by faith. All we have to do is open our eyes. And if we open our eyes and read the book and study the book, it's right there in front of our eyes. Daniel tells us in Daniel chapter 12 that he was told to close the book, seal up the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and that means trying to find answers, but the knowledge shall increase. Knowledge of the book of Daniel, knowledge of Bible prophecy, only at the time of the end. Daniel heard this other prediction there in Daniel 12. He said, I heard, but I didn't understand. And God said in Daniel 12, 9 and 10, Daniel, you won't. It's only at the time of the end people will understand. And then he said this, the wicked will never understand, but the wise will understand. Who are the wise? Those that take this book seriously. It's all laid out for us.
Aren't you glad he said the wise? He didn't say the smart.
Exactly.
I mean, you're smart and you're wise. He didn't say smart.
Nope.
He said wise. How do you get wise?
The book.
Only one way, this book.
The book.
What's fascinating about what you just said is Daniel was closed at his time that it would be opened. The book of Revelation picks that up and reveals the person of Christ in the last day's events. And the opportunity that we have, Don, is so unique because, in fact, Robin and I, my secretary, we were talking today. All of a sudden, in my heart, in her heart, in our hearts, when we go out now for the necessities, to the market, whatever it is, there's a sense of calm boldness that I've never known before.
Exactly.
So much so that it was completely right. It was completely prompted by the Holy Spirit. It was of God at the moment, where I was in a grocery store in Los Angeles. I was coming home. Lisa said, we need to get some, we love almond milk. California makes the best almond milk in the world. You got to get almond milk. I'm in LA. I pull over. I'm in a neighborhood that I normally wouldn't ever go to just because of my ethnicity, to be frank with you. I went in there and I was the only guy of my ethnicity, and you never would have known it. I looked around, families holding hands, grocery shopping, people saying hello, and I had a bag from our church, shopping bag, and it had a scripture verse on it. And the cash register, a young woman said, where'd you get this? This is awesome. Praise the Lord. And I said, I got it from our church. Oh, what church is that? I told her, and I'm 35 miles from home. And there were 12, 15 people in line. And in an instant, Don, I just turned to them. They're all looking. And I turned to them and I said, hey, everybody, no worries. God's got this. Jesus is on the throne. He's the Lord. And every single person in line said, praise the Lord. God's got this right on. Nobody said, oh, you offended my feelings. There's an openness right now and a boldness that Christians are sharing with people. They're inviting people into their homes. Something's up.
Exactly.
And I'm loving it.
What a great opportunity we have right now. So we want to use this time, Jack, like you did, of being salt and light. Jesus said he was the light of the world while he was here. We are now the light, shining his truth literally around the world, being those witnesses of him, of the good news of Christ. And that's why even, you know, the Bible says in Philippians 4, the peace of God's going to pass all understanding, because we do two things. We worry about nothing. We pray about everything. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Basically, don't worry about anything. pray about everything, then God's peace. Now, peace isn't the absence of conflict, but this inner feeling of just knowing that God is with us. So what's interesting is in the midst of all this chaos going on, we're at peace. We've got a peace there that the world doesn't understand, the world can't give. And that's what Jesus said, peace I leave you, not as the world gives. And that's what we have today.
Not only is the peace that he gives from him and not of this world, but it is a resident peace, isn't it?
Sure is.
Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, that when he comes inside of you as a believer, that he'll dwell in you. In fact, Jesus said, it's an advantage to you all that I go away. I must leave you, he told the disciples, for if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Helper will not come to you, the Parakletos, he will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will teach you all things and lead you into all truth. This is what's different about Christianity. And I know we've got many international viewers right now. They may not know that what makes Christianity different is that it's not a religion to with its goal to achieve. As Christians, we do not attain something. In every other religion of the world, it is crafted for you to perform, to earn points, to achieve status with your God or gods. Christianity is the Christ of Christianity in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of resurrection life, the hope of salvation. And you mentioned that peace. Isaiah 26:3 says that I will give you perfect peace because your mind is stayed on me, says God. That's a remarkable thing because you've trusted in me. That word implies that you, the believer, are anchored to God, and thus you have peace in the midst of these storms. Real quick, Billy Graham said the greatest peace that he's ever seen was in one of the great hurricanes of the East Coast of the United States in North Carolina, where he lived. He saw a sparrow asleep with its head under its wing in a crack of a rock during a raging hurricane. Peace in the midst of storm. Jesus was sleeping in the midst of a storm in the boat because he trusted in the Lord. And so listen, guys, we'll push this because we can right now. Are there any questions that have come in? Excellent. Don, you want to take that one?
Yeah, could God be using the virus to wake up his church in these last days? And it's precisely what he's doing because 100%. Yeah, because when everything's going fine, we don't feel we need God, but when chaos comes, what's the first thing we think about? Do, Jack? Pray, ask God, what's going on? And we get serious. We really, really, really need God. And I think this is the time because it's symptomatic of what's taken place in the last days around the world. Church, you better wake up. We're the ones here now. We've got a responsibility to preach the gospel. So yeah, he's using it to that end. So take this as a wake-up call for each and every one of us for the advantage of preaching the good news to our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors, whoever it might be, that we have peace in the midst of all this conflict, like that little bird, because we're trusting in the living God.
And I'll give you an exhortation, friends. God uses everything to his glory, even bad stuff. He may not cause it, but he'll use it. Yep. Regarding this virus, if this isn't waking you up, what will it take to wake you up? Will it be a brain tumor? Will it be cancer? Hey, wake up now. Choose to wake up now because it is the last days. Don't wait. Next question. Why is the news always so negative? Come on. They rarely, if ever, share those who have overcome this disease. Are these numbers skewed to promote fear? 100%. Listen, I want to be careful how I answer this. If you go to the website for Johns Hopkins University Live Coronavirus Tracker, Google that. Johns Hopkins University, it's supposed to be safe and scientific. I like it. Here's the reason why. It shows you how many people have been positive, how many people have gotten sick. There's a big difference between those numbers. How many people have died, and hallelujah, how many people recover. And it's a huge number, a great majority recover. Yes, listen, without negativity, the secular news agencies do not have news. They know that negativity grips people. And so because of that, it They market fear. And so they're not reporting, notice, the news is not reporting how many people have recovered. They're telling you exactly how many people have died. In fact, we now know that there are people that have been reported having died from coronavirus that actually died of cancers or other diseases, but the number was included.
Yeah, let me give you an example that the BBC this last week did a story about South Korea and trying to scare the daylights out of people about the number of people that contracted the virus. It took you to the eighth paragraph to learn that the percentage of people who died are 0.22 per thousand. So of every thousand people who get the virus, only two people die of it. And again, until recently, the most part, just aged elderly people with pre-existing conditions, but only two per thousand because they had like 200,000 people they tested, and then who got it, the number who died. But that was the eighth paragraph, Jack, and the headline looked like, you know, the world's gonna end right now, but you keep reading the story. Well, you know, not all people do die.
Isn't that something? Yeah. And I'm not selling anything, and I can't even tell you the name of it, I'm sad to say, but Singapore and South Korea, they started saying on their public address services to those two countries, take zinc supplements and something else, and it's over-the-counter stuff, and it's supposed to be tremendously powerful against any influenza. So anyway, do you think the coronavirus was released as a biological weapon to disrupt the current administration? I have my opinion. I'm just going to give you my opinion. I underlined, it's my opinion. It's my opinion. I believe China had to release it. I believe the guy that is known as the whistleblower in the laboratory who was killed, ladies and gentlemen, I absolutely believe that this is biological warfare launched by China because China was in its... If China didn't do this, they couldn't survive the Trump administration. Something they had to disrupt the world to disrupt this administration and its success. And I believe that in time it will be proven that China, that this was a weaponized virus intentionally.
Yeah, you think about it, Jack. Like I said earlier, you've got 3.7 million square miles of the country, and supposedly, coincidentally, the virus, you know, erupts right in this only city where a level 4 lab is with all these pathogens, which previously had escaped from a lab in Beijing in 2004, the SARS virus. And then when they started looking at the people, they started looking at the, you know, samples of the pathogen, immediately they were told by the higher-ups to destroy them. Why is that if you want to get rid of some type of epidemic that's going on that was naturally come about by some food in the market? It sounds, you know, again, just logically speaking, I don't have enough faith to believe that happened by chance. Of all the cities of the 3.7 million square miles, Wuhan, right there, the only one with the level 4 lab, the only one, you know, the same people who lost the SARS thing in 2004 working there, and then they destroy the evidence. Well, it seems to me something's fishy there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's what is it? It's the preponderance of evidence?
Yeah, exactly. That's how in a jury instruction is this. It's beyond a reasonable doubt. Not beyond any doubt, but beyond a reasonable doubt. It's the preponderance evidence seemingly that this came about purposely designed as a bioweapon, or is it something that just naturally came out? Well, I guess theoretically it's possible it could have come, but the same city?
Yeah, and you said it earlier. What's the mathematical odds that a great contingency of people from Wuhan would go to northern Italy?
Yeah, because 330,000 Chinese at least live in northern Italy in the Lombard region, and because that's where, you know, the garments are there. That's the whole fashion era, Milan, and they live all together too. Unfortunately, the Chinese workers there. I was reading it, like a 1,500 square foot house of three families living in it.
Yeah,
so
not healthy.
And they're going back and forth from Wuhan. Remember, it's the Chinese New Year when they came back and forth.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, and you can see why there and why Iran, why it just exploded there.
Yep. Okay. This next question, I'm not, by far, I will not be able to answer it thoroughly, but let me answer it the best I can, as quick as I can. It's a great question. Does the increased weight of our national debt as a result of this bailout make the borrower, the United States, a slave to the lender? Of course, but here's the silver lining to this, ladies and gentlemen. Please take a deep breath and exhale and relax. Those of you in the United States. I cannot imagine what condition we would be in if Trump would not have been elected. Friends, you may not like what I'm about to say. Tough. It's the truth. For 3 years, Trump's efforts revolutionized our economy. And nations, national, international, multinational corporations brought their companies back to the United States. And our markets exploded. And if you were not making money as an American citizen in the last 3 years, then something's wrong with you, to be honest with you. I'm being very bold and telling you, if you didn't make any money in the last 3 years, you missed out on a great opportunity. My point is this. Trump took our economy to world record heights. Then we got hit by the Chinese. If the other team would have been elected and we got hit by the Chinese, you and I would be speaking Chinese by now.
Exactly.
So here's the good news about the bad stuff going on. The money that the U.S. made, the lender, we are lending this to ourselves. So how do you do that? We are borrowing both from great profits that the nation has made in the last 3 years and investments. I'll give you one in a moment. The lender will be itself, the United States. We will be borrowing from the future exactly as you buy your house, thanks to Donald Trump being our president and having financial success. Does that make some sense? And I'll give you one remarkable thing that he did. Just before the crash of a couple weeks ago, the oil prices plummeted because of, you said it, Russia and Saudis battling. Guess what we did? Trump ordered a massive purchasing of oil, unprecedented in American history, probably world history. Trump, the United States, bought zillions of gallons of oil to store it. In other words, a businessman knew to buy low and sell high. And he's going to use that to fund some of our debt. Brilliant stroke. Don, what's the next one?
Let's go to the next
one.
I was just going to say, I have to confess, in 2015, when Donald Trump came down the escalator to announce his candidacy for president, my wife, who is a genius in the finance industry, she literally has turned to me and he said, he's the only guy that can save this country. And
is
we became
that right?
She did that because she'd read The Art of the Deal. She'd watched the program, The Apprentice. And I started watching with her about two years before. And she said, look, he's the only guy who can save us. We need a person like this because he knows business. We need a businessman now. So we've been always Trumpers from that day
on. She looked right past his past.
Right past the past.
And to who the man was then.
Because she knew his heart. He loves America. You know, he really cares about it. And, you know, and he's an honest guy.
You know what's amazing about what you... I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What's amazing about what I've heard is that, notice he's a multi-billionaire international businessman.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a robber, cheat, and thief and do business in the world. The world purges itself of those people. No one will shake your hand because they'll know that you'll cheat. I have heard from people who work with him. He's an incredible man of his word. His past was his past.
Yeah.
Don't you have a past? Thank God that your past is gone, I hope, in Christ, right? Hey, whoever Trump was, he's not the same guy now.
Nope.
And that's fantastic.
Yep.
That's great. I got
to
tell you,
that.
I missed that. I was a Ted Cruz guy, and I didn't see that one. And I love Ted Cruz, but I'm glad he's not president. Yep. And I bet you right now, Ted Cruz is glad he's not president.
Glad. Yeah.
Do you see a financial reset ushering in the beast system? I personally see at some point a global collapse of economies.
Yep.
Global.
Yep.
collapse of economies that will usher in the beast. Is this that? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't
either.
Know. But you're asking a smart question, Don.
It's a great question. Same answer. We'll wait and see. You know, my wife was asking me yesterday, okay, what's going to happen? I said, well, you know, there's a bunch of different scenarios we don't know. Again, we know how the story ends. We win, but how we're going to get there, we're not sure. And so we just have to take it a day at a time. And Jack, as the days go by, it'll become clearer and clearer what the answer is going to be. Right now, we really don't know, but we'll know very soon.
In what ways do you think President Trump's spiritual pastors advisory team is impacting his understanding of world affairs? I cannot answer that question. Yep. I'm not legally allowed to answer that question. Yep. Don, will you answer that question?
Yeah, we're glad you're not legally allowed to answer that, Jack, because God's put you, you know, for such a time as this there. Well, he's listening to somebody that's telling him the right advice, and so I'll just leave it at that. So I would say, yeah, I think he's the Holy Spirit is working in this administration, and he's working in ways that are beyond our comprehension. But thank God for people like Jack, others that are near President Trump, Tony Perkins and others, Mike Pompeo and, you know, Mike Pence, who are there, who love the Lord, and who are praying for him and praying for this country. And again, all these things are coming. This is not a coincidence, all this happening right now. And so, whether it's impacting his understanding, whatever the case may be, I'm glad he's at the helm. We'll just leave it at that.
Next question. Have you seen how other religions are reacting to the coronavirus? Oh my goodness, worldwide Muslims, Buddhists, oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's a hard question you guys are asking because it's tragic.
It is.
I have seen videos of the Muslim world and they're in a panic.
Yes.
In fact, Don, I don't remember if I was talking to you or someone else, but Muslims, this has had a big effect on Muslims in Israel. And they're panicking and they are fearful. And Muslims, I don't know anything about Buddhists, maybe Don does, but I know that the Muslim community worldwide is terrified. And here's one of the reasons why. You can see this on YouTube if you have the stomach for it. And it's not graphic, it's what he says. A very famous Muslim cleric was preaching 2 weeks ago. And he announced to the Muslim world, stop being afraid of the coronavirus. You need to trust Allah. And I got a sore throat. I got a fever. But I prayed to Allah and he healed me. This was on BBC News. And 6 days later, he died of the coronavirus. We chuckle at that because it's kind of sad, tragically weird and funny in a way, ironic. It's not funny to the Muslim world, to them who are very, by the way, Islam, you don't think, but it's a very superstitious religion. They saw that as Allah not being able to protect them. And it's affecting global religions. Maybe it's driving them to Jesus of the Bible, the Bible Jesus.
His channel, like I said, we go into all the countries of the world and we get the statistics of who's watching. And our top 10 viewership is the country of Iran, which is the fastest growing church in the world. And I have a very good friend who's in contact with the people there. And he said, you can't believe how many people are becoming Christians across the board. And many of them from dreams too. He mentions that, because they're looking for truth. And so just to follow up what you said.
You never think about Iran, which is Persia, as a Bible land. But it's a Bible land.
It certainly is. Cyrus the Persian, he's the gave the decree to come back and, to build the city in the second temple.
Cyrus. In fact, Israel struck a coin with Trump and Cyrus on it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The new Cyrus.
So Don, do you think that we'll eventually be all right? Or is this the beginning of the end as we know it?
Stay tuned.
Can I answer it this way?
Yep.
Do we think that we will eventually be all right? Excuse me. As believers, this is the worst that it gets.
We're already all right.
We're all right. Paul the Apostle said, to live is Christ. That's what we're doing right now. To die is to gain.
Yep.
To live is Christ, to die is gain. So yes, to your first question, is this the beginning of the end as we know it? We can probably safely say, and it could be good, actually. America will never be the same, like 9/11. America will never be the same after this. I'm trusting God. It could be better. We'll be smarter if we repent and seek God. You know, the answer to the second part to your question, That answer's up to us.
Yeah.
Will we seek God? Could be amazing.
Yeah, and Jack, we don't want to repeat the problem after 9/11. The churches were filled for a while, but then everybody dissipated. This is a time when people need to come and make a commitment and keep the commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep, absolutely. Maybe you need to make that commitment in your home right now. Don and I, we can only guess where you're from. We cannot see the Facebook comments or locations. We'll find that out later. But I'm honestly asking you right now, if you are in your cubicle at work because you have to be, you have a mandated employment where in the United States you can't stay home. You have to be there. If you're in the military right now at your post, or maybe you're in your quarters and you're watching, maybe you're in the living room or a hotel. Don and I are going to ask you to take these few considerations. Everything we talked about tonight is biblically based. How do you square that? We didn't say that we're guessing on anything. We said turn to Ezekiel 38, turn to 1 John 2, turn to John 5. When we didn't know how to answer something, our answer was, let's wait and see. Even in that, you should have confidence that we're not pointing you to us. Do you understand that? We are not pointing you to us. We can't help you. We can only use this moment and our bodies, our mouths, and this technology to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a moment, I'm going to ask Don to give you the gospel and to pray with you, but I want you to think about this before we do this. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, the Bible teaches us that God has numbered our days. You may be deathly afraid of the coronavirus, and yet you may not die of the coronavirus. You could die tonight or today, wherever you're at right now, by a heart attack. You could trip over your furniture and break your neck. You don't know what day. You don't know the day. Only God knows the day. And by the way, you can't change that day. See, what if I jump off the roof and try to kill myself? If it's not your day, you're going to hit the ground and you're going to hurt really bad and you're going to be in the hospital for a long time. And that would really be stupid to do. The deal is for you to repent of your sin and to come to Jesus Christ before your time's up. And Don is going to tell you how to do that. I encourage you to listen to him.
You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple a child can believe. Many people come to faith in Christ as young children because it's very simple. And the simple message is this. God created a very perfect world. Genesis 1:31 said it was very good when he finished it. But something happened to cause the world to be imperfect, and that is sin. The sin that was originally happened in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. But right then God made a promise. Someday he would send a deliverer, a savior who would bring humanity back to that relationship with God. Because once sin entered the world, there's a separation of humanity and God. We needed to be brought back some way. We needed a savior, a go-between who was fully human and fully divine. And that's who the Lord Jesus Christ was 2,000 years ago when he came to this world. What he did, he lived a perfect life. He fulfilled all the prophecies given towards the coming Messiah. He performed miracles, but the greatest miracle of all, he died on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. He came back from the dead on Easter Sunday, showing himself alive for some 40 days before he just ascended into heaven. And he said, someday, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you're going to be also. We're going to be with him forever and ever. So right now, you have the opportunity to know, if you don't know who you are, why you are here, and what is going to happen to you when you die, your identity, your purpose, and your destiny. You have been made in the image and likeness of God. You're not a mistake of evolution. That's your identity. Your purpose is to know him, have that relationship with him here on this planet, and your destiny is to be in his presence forever and ever and ever. And right now you can know that by praying a very simple prayer. So I'll ask you, wherever you're at, groups, close your eyes, bow your heads, and just pray a prayer something like this. Just say, Lord God, if you indeed are God, and Jesus Christ, if you indeed are the Son of God, then right this moment, the best way that I know how, I want to trust you as Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. Give me the power to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's that simple, isn't it, Jack? Just calling out to him, and he responds. The thief next to Jesus on the cross just said two words, remember me. That's all you need to say.
It's so simple that a child can do it, and yet so profound that it stumbles the most elite intellects, as it were, because it's just so offensive to our flesh, isn't it, that we would humble ourselves before this loving God.